Oh, Father, we do thank you, Lord. You are speaking to us. You are talking to us. You are, and it may not necessarily be an audible voice, but you are speaking to us by your Spirit. Well, as Jesus said, Lord, when he was being tempted by Satan, said that we're to live by every word that comes from the mouth of the Father. So that means if you are speaking, you're giving us the ability to hear you. And it is wonderful, Lord, to hear what you're saying to us and guiding us. And most importantly, that we are having fellowship with you. Lord, we need your help tonight, Lord, to hear you, to hear what it is you are wanting to say tonight. We need you. We need you. We need your word, Lord. And so, Lord, we ask that you would provide that you would speak through not only me, Lord, but through each of us here. As you've done so many times before, Lord. We're a body. And so, Lord, we're in need. We're in need of you. We're in need of what you have for us. And I pray, Lord, that you would give us and provide to us exactly what each of us needs. You know what that need is, Lord. And we're just praying and asking, Lord, that you would provide exactly that portion of yourself that we need of you. We thank you, Lord, for the past year. You've done so many marvelous things, Lord. So many marvelous things. I mean, if we look at the news, we look at the headlines, we may think, oh, where is God? But you're there, Lord. You're here. You're in us. You've been working in us, and you've been working in the world. Your glory fills all the earth. And Lord, we thank you for that. And we look forward to this coming year and what you have for us. And I pray, Lord, that you would speak tonight and give us a little inkling of that. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God is it is the first day of the year, new year, 2013. And, of course, everybody, you know, likes to have their New Year's resolutions, you know, I'm going to lose weight, or I'm going to do this, or I'm not going to do that, or, and then, of course, as per typical, you know, a month, 2 weeks, or afterwards, it's like, what was our New Year's resolution? And we even kind of do it a little bit, even in the church, in the sense of what's God bringing for the new year. And again, I'm not knocking it or anything like that, because I don't think God necessarily goes by our calendar year per se in that sense. And obviously he hasn't in terms of the things he's been doing. But there is something about the kind of like starting new, in a sense, starting new, starting on a new foot. You know, the saying that today is the first day of the rest of your life. You know, even Paul talks about I forget what's behind and press on toward the mark that Christ Jesus has grasped me for. So there is that idea of freshness, that starting anew, beginnings, if you will. So I think it's kind of nice, if you will, to put it that way, that we had this on the first day of the year. And what I believe the Lord is laying on my heart to share, I think fits with that. You know, I was in my chats with David McIntosh in the early mornings. We got to talking about God and who he is, not in an academic way, but who he is in a sense of, you know, who is he to us? Who is he to me? I mean, here's the God of the universe who created everything, who is all powerful, is all knowing, is all everything. And yet, this God wants to have fellowship with me. You know, as Hebrews says, what is man that God would even consider you? Would even consider man? You know, who are we compared to God? And we were looking at God, how God is, you know, we know God is all powerful. We know he's all, like I said, all omnipotent and so forth. But he's also very humble. And we don't really look at God. I mean, I'm talking about the Father. I'm talking about the Father. We kind of recognize, you know, we recognize Jesus as humble and so forth. But to say that the Father is humble. And pastors even said that the Father is childlike, which is kind of hard to understand because when we think childlike, we think, you know, doesn't know anything, doesn't, you know, they need to be trained or that kind of thing. But that's not the childlike he means. He means childlike in a sense of that he is pure, that he is not simple in the unpretentious. Thank you, Mark. Yeah, unpretentious. It's hard to describe, but he's humble. He's humble. He has this plan laid out to make himself a house, to build himself a house, which we are part of, obviously, the church. And Jesus Christ is the cornerstone of that house and is the dwelling place right now of God. And he's making us a dwelling place as well. But it's interesting to see that God the Father is humble in the sense that, one, he allowed his son to go to the cross to die, to go through separation from him, how he responds to his creation, how he responds to human beings, in a sense that he's not cruel, he's not mean, he's not petty, he's not all these things that, you know, we've seen in the, you know, in the movies or the Greek gods and the Roman gods. They were always, you know, Zeus was always petty about something. You know, it was like, oh, they made me mad and I'm going to go kill them or do whatever. They were like fickle. They were kind of like fickle. God's not fickle. He's humble. He's not proud in the sense of the bad idea of being proud. And as, you know, we were kind of talking about that, it was like, wow. And I said to him, I said, who is God? Who is he? I mean, what he's been doing in my life, what he's been doing in all of our lives, what he's been doing throughout history in individual lives, this book that he has written, giving us his plan. His plan of salvation, his plan for redemption, his plan for love, joy, peace in the Holy Spirit forever and ever in the new eternity to come. All of these things. And how he works with us, how he deals with us, how he, you know, where if it was me, I'd already given up on me long time ago, I would have given up on me. And yet, he's right there saying, hey, I don't hate you. I don't dislike you. I'm not condemning you. I'm here. I love you. I delight in you. I'm here to help you. Yes, I know this is the, you know, 275th time that you've been struggling with this thing, but I'm here to help you. I'm here. I'm in control. I know what's going on. This doesn't take me by surprise. That's humbleness. That's humbleness. That's humbleness. And the Lord is making that clearer and clearer and saying, that's how I want you to be. I want you to be just like me. So in the midst of this, I mean, it's giving me a more trust of the Lord, more faith in the Lord, more love for the Lord. Because he first, you know, we love because he first loved us. You know, we can't truly love unless we have his love. And I mean, he's loved us from before the beginning, if you will, but yet we can't recognize it. We can't in our stuff, in our Adamic nature. And so he works in us so that we can sense his love. We can sense who he is and what he's about in terms of us, in terms of relating to us and wanting to fellowship with us. And I felt the Lord was saying to me that we're starting this new year. And of course, a lot of times people ask the Lord, what are you saying? What are you saying to us? What do you have for us? What's the word that you have for us? And I think the Lord is saying that I do have a word. Not, thus saith the Lord, and some prophecy in that sense, but I believe the Lord is saying I do have a word for each one of us. Each one of us. And Lord, help me. We want to know the future. We want to know what's happening down the road, particularly with me, with ourselves. What's going to be happening with me 2 months from now? What's going to be happening with me a year from now? What's going to be happening with me tomorrow? Of course, this is the time, too, of all the, what's the prophecies, what's that guy's name?
Nostradamus.
Yeah, thank you. Nostradamus, what's he saying for 2013? What's he, that kind of thing. Myself personally, in terms of just being I'll just admit it, being a internet junkie in a sense of internet news, trying to find out what's the government doing, what's happening, what's, where's it going, blah, blah, blah. And I felt the Lord say, you want to know a lot of things. You want to know what's happening in the future. And you find that these people, these pundits, these commentators, these folks that seem like they've got, they know what's happening. They know what's going on. Oh, yeah, this is what's going to happen. I predict this. I predict that. And I have to admit, I do read some of those things and say, I wonder if that's really going to happen. I wonder if that's going to really, but I found that most of them don't really know what they're talking about. They're guessing. Pretty much guessing. And yet, you still have that pull. I still had that pull to go, what's he saying next? And in the Bible, if a prophet was wrong, they stoned him. They didn't believe him anymore. And these guys are making themselves out to be prophets, and I'm trying to follow them. And God is saying, you want to know what's happening in the future. You want to know what's going on. And yes, not just the big picture, I'm coming back and going to bring my, city down to the new earth and so forth. But what's happening with me now? And the Lord was saying to me, I know exactly what's happening with you. Tomorrow, the next day, the next week, the next month, the next year, the next decade, the next eternity. I know exactly what's happening with you. Why don't you talk to me? Why don't you ask me? And I'm like, well, Lord, to be honest, because I don't know if you're going to tell me. Kind of said, again, there's no audible voice, but I believe the Lord was saying to me, you're looking for nitty-gritty details of frivolous information that mean nothing. Oh, we're going off the financial cliff. What's that going to mean for us? Oh, is it going to... means nothing. I'm here, the Lord was saying, to provide you truth. I'm here to provide you guidance, to lead you into my truth, to lead you into me. I'm providing. If you want to know what's going on, if you want to know what's going on, come to me. Come to me. And I mean, we've got examples in the Bible of God telling, you know, his prophets different things of what's going to happen, or like with Elijah telling King Ahab, you know, that, you know, from this day forward, there will be not a drop of rain for the next 3 years. Yeah. That's pretty big news. And there was no rain for 3 years. And then at the end of that 3 years, God told them, well, started some events basically that caused them to eventually pray for the rain to come. And I don't think God was saying, okay, I'm going to tell you, you know, it's not going to rain in San Diego for 3 years, but he may. But that's not what he was really saying. He's saying, if you want to know what's going on, if you want to know what's happening, as Pastor likes to say on the 11 o'clock news, ask me. Because I will tell you what's essential for you, what's essential for you to live your life. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 talks about not leaning on our own understanding. And when I read those internet news places and the commentators, I'm trying to, in my own understanding, figure out what's going on. And can you put that up? Oh, okay, thank you. All right. Yeah, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. I'm so good at using my own understanding to figure out things. Even with these commentators who are guessing, I'm trying to guess right along with them to say, is he right? Is he not right? Yeah, that kind of sounds right. Ooh, wonder how that's going to work out, you know. And God is saying, lean not on your own understanding. Don't look to the wisdom of men. God uses people, definitely. He uses people to talk and speak to us, but he's saying, don't lean on your own understanding. Talk to me. And then he says, in all your ways, acknowledge him. In other words, I'm the one that's in control, Jesus is saying. God is saying, I'm the one that's in control. Acknowledge me. Lord, I see the situation. What's happening? What's going on? I'm trusting you, Lord, that you're going to tell me if there's anything that, you know, needs to happen, if I need to do anything. With this financial cliff that's coming, do I need to do anything, Lord? Now, can you imagine, instead of fretting about the financial cliff that the nation's going over, if that ever happens, instead of worrying about it, trying to figure it out, trying to listen to the commentators in terms of their all their guessing and predicting, to go to the Lord and say, Lord, what about this? How do I respond to this? How do I deal with this? I'm acknowledging him. I'm acknowledging him. So I'm saying, Lord, help me see what I need to do. And he most likely will say, don't worry about it. Just like he told Pastor about Y2K, you know, that was coming. You know, and he asked the Lord about it. And the Lord said, it's going to be a non-event. Don't worry about it. And that's what it was, a non-event. He will make your path straight. He will guide you. Don't we want to know, where's the next turn? Where's the next step? Where's the next, you know, Lord, you know, well, we don't usually say Lord. We say, you know, where should I go next? How should I step next? Or what turn should I make? Or what, you know, should I go to IHOP? No, just kidding. You've heard from the Lord. Our Abby is going to IHOP in Kansas City. And we'll be praying for her to acknowledge the Lord in all her ways. Yes, sir. Yes, Bill.
Commentary says, man's problem has always been man's will, whether Christian or otherwise. In these passages, we are told here that we do not have the self-sufficiency to run this race alone.
Yes, that is true. We don't have it. We don't have the sufficiency. We don't have the knowledge. We don't have the wisdom. We don't have anything to run this race alone. Too far over here to the speaker. Don't be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and shun evil. God is saying, I know the beginning from the end. I will tell you. I will show you. In Revelation 12, it talks about the dragon putting out this flood to try to drown the woman. I kind of asked the Lord about that. What's this flood that he puts out to try to drown the woman, the church? And the thing that came to mind for me was information. Information, meaning facts, 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 facts. When I was in high school, didn't know what a personal computer was. There was no internet. There was, we did have cable TV with a bunch of channels and so forth. But we didn't have cell phones for sure. it was the old ring, ring, and if somebody was on the line when you were trying to ring them, it was busy. But now, you've got internet, you've got phones that have video, you've got streaming video, you've got movies, you've got, even in businesses, there's, you know, you got your computer, you got email. Yeah, that's why you got email. You got all this stuff, all this information that is flooding us, in a sense, to the point of distraction from the things of God. And not saying all information is bad or anything like that, but that's kind of what it came to me. I believe the Lord was showing an aspect of this flood that was trying to overtake the woman was just information, the flood of information. I mean, we have businesses now that make a living on organizing information. Unheard of 30 years ago.
Oh, they
got them. Well, I'm talking about innocent.
Manufacturers of file cabinets.
Yeah, file cabinets. I'm talking about organizations that literally take the information and file it. Yes, they file it. Yes. But they take it, they file it, they put it in categories and so, and then of course they sell it back to you and say, if you want to know this come, and we're looking for information. Whoever heard, like I said, 20 years ago, to say, oh, I'm going to go Google that. Yeah. But it's automatic. It's in our lexicon now. It's in our brain. Oh, you know about such and such and such and such? I don't know, but I'm going to Google it and we'll find out. And people pull up their phone and they Google. Oh, yeah, that's this, and this, and this. Sandy?
Or they ask you something and you don't have the time to explain it all. You're just like, Google it.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. You don't have time to explain it. Google it. But it's all this information. I can get information. I can get information, get information, get information. And I believe it's something that is distracting us from what God is saying to us. It's crowding out his words. And the Lord is saying, I have the truth for you. There's a lot of facts out there. There's a lot of facts. There's a lot of information. But I have the truth for you. And why, I say this to myself more than anybody else, why do I not want to go to God for information, for the next direction? Well, there's a lot of reasons. Because I am distracted by the information. One. Two, I'm in my just Adamic nature, the information is tantalizing. The information is stimulating. It's, to know something. Oh, did you see this on YouTube? Oh, yeah, okay. Or somebody sends me a link. Oh, check this out on YouTube. Oh, yeah, isn't that, you know, funny? Oh, isn't that great? Oh, that's nice. Oh, wow, wow. You know, and then I've, you know, wasted an hour watching YouTube. But, yeah, Sandy?
Also, with God, it's more of a relationship where it's just getting the information. You just push a button or look it up. Whereas God may... No, okay, you're not really mature enough to have the answer to this yet, and you gotta let me lead you into these steps, and you have to overcome these various different things. Just like certain things in the Bible, you know, it's right there, and we can go try to look up in every, you know, every book it's written in, and look in past scriptures and everything, and try to come up with a meaning of it, but
right.
If we're not mature or not able to hear, you know, God's heart on that, then we don't know the meaning of it. You know, so God, kind of like you said earlier, you know, he may not give us the answer right off.
Right, right. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Relationship. Relationship. That's what it boils down to. Relationship. Because in Proverbs 3, that whole thing there, you went to the Revelation? Yeah. In Proverbs 3, I mean, to act that out is relationship, because you got to talk to God. You got to acknowledge who he is. You've got to say, I need you, Lord. And in doing that, it's not like, you know, looking at some idol and saying, oh, help me, you know, oh, God of whatever. We're actually looking for a response back from the Lord in a relationship. And maybe we are just looking for a response back in a sense that, you know, I'm just looking for God's hand. In other words, what can he do for me? And that's fine. That's more the immature level, if you will, in the sense of what can God do for me? How can he help me? Blah, blah. Whereas as we grow more maturity, it's, okay, Lord, let me hear what you say. Let me hear what you say. Matter of fact, let's look at John 15, starting in verse 12. Talking about that relationship. Talking about that idea that this is what God wants. He's wanting us to look to him for our information, in a sense, our knowledge of, you know, where's things going. Romans 12, 1 and 2, talking about, you know, presenting your body a living sacrifice. Presenting your body a living sacrifice so that you're no longer conformed to the world, but are being transformed into the image of God, so that you will find out what God's will is for you, for your life. In John 15, starting in 12, it says, my command is this, Jesus is saying to his disciples, love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. There's a condition there. I no longer call you servants or slaves, because a slave does not know his master's business. Instead, I've called you friends, for everything I've learned from my Father, I have made known to you. He's saying, I call you my friends because I want to share my heart with you. I want to share what the Father has been saying to me. I want to share that with you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. Then the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. This is my command. Love each other. Friend. Jesus is looking for a friend. Friends share their hearts with one another. Friends share their joys and their sadnesses and their they share everything. Depending on the relationship with the friend, but in this case, Jesus is wanting to be a friend that shares everything. Because he said, "For everything that I learned from my Father, I've made known to you." That's what Jesus wants for us now. Everything that he's hearing from the Father, he wants to make known to us. He wants to share with us. Now, that's the kind of information I think I would want, was what the Father is saying. It's a relationship, definitely. Definitely. And I believe the Lord is saying, I want to bring you in the truth. I want to give you knowledge in a sense of what's going to be happening. But it's only going to come when I'm your friend. When you're seeking me and not the things of the world. I believe the Lord is saying that for this year coming up that He's drawing closer. He will draw even closer to each one of us. You know, in John 14, He talks about, I will come back. And I believe He's talking about coming back to each individual in terms of us being formed and having Christ formed in us and having us being made that room and being made in His image and being made that dwelling place, that sanctuary where God can dwell and where He can dwell. He's drawing closer. There's going to be more chaos. There's going to be more violence. There's going to be more upheaval. There's going to be more of the stuff we see in the news, the stuff we see in the headlines. There's going to be more of that. And Jesus is saying, you can be distracted by that, or this year you can allow me to draw closer to you. You can allow me to come and be in deeper relationship with you. You can allow me to tune your ears, if you will, to hear, to really hear what it is I'm saying. You can allow me to be your friend as you do what I say so that I can share the Father's heart with you. Jesus also says in John 15, verse 4, that to abide in Him. NIV says remain, but same thing, to abide, to remain in Him. And He to abide in us. And again, it speaks of relationship. It says, remain in me and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself, but must remain in the vine. Jesus being the vine, we being the branches. The branch has to be part of the vine to get its sustenance to be able to bear fruit. Again, talking about a relationship, a relationship. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me, I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. The Lord is saying, if you want to know what's going on coming year, if you know what I want for you in the coming year, abide in me, remain in me, and I will give you truth, and I will give you direction. I will direct your paths. I will guide you in the way I want you to go. And in the midst of all the chaos that's coming, and all the violence and all the bad stuff that we read about, and that may even happen to us, He's saying, abide in me. I will guide you. I will lead you. I will tell you where you need to go. I will tell you what you need to do. I will show you and I will give you the strength to do it. I will give you peace in the midst of it. Isaiah 26:3. Please, Abby, and can you make it the King James Version for me, please? King James Version says, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusteth in thee. Again, relationship, a friend, a good friend. When you're talking together, you're not talking at them. You're not talking around them. You're talking to them and allowing them to talk to you, allowing you, and you're sharing with one another. And as we focus and keep our mind stayed on the Lord and look to Him, He keeps us in perfect peace, double peace, double peace, which implies to me that I don't have to worry about, I don't have to fear what's coming this year. I don't have to fear what's coming this year, not just in the nation, not just in regions of the nation or the city or down the block, but even for myself, even for each one of us, we have no fear if we're looking to the Lord, knowing that He will protect us and keep us. And even if we're allowed to have some physical thing happen to us, He will still be with us and keep us and bring us through in peace. In peace. The new year is beginning, and the Lord is saying, abide in me. Seek me, and I will direct your path. Seek me, and I will tell you which way to go, to turn to the left or turn to the right. Seek me, and you will have perfect peace, no matter what the situation. Seek me, and I will make known my will for your life. Seek me, abide in me, remain in me, and I will make you one with me, my friend. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, you've laid out this plan. You had it all laid out, even before the foundation of the earth. And with all the things that are going on, and as your plan is unfolding, Lord, as we're drawing to the end of the age, coming into the new eternity, Lord, with all the things that you've laid out, all the things that you've worked out, all the things that you've orchestrated and made happen and will make happen, the thing you're looking for is relationship, fellowship. Like you had in the garden with our parents, Adam and Eve. Fellowship. And you are going to be drawing closer to us, Lord. Even more so this year. I pray, Lord, that you would give us ears to hear what you're saying. That you would give us spiritual eyes to see what you're doing. That you would give us more of your Spirit, Lord, so that we can seek you with all of our heart, so that we can look to you and be that living sacrifice unto you. So that as Satan brings out that flood, we can be protected as you protected the woman. We can look to you, and even though you've established everything on the flood, we can find sure footing. We can find sure direction. We can find sure wisdom in you. In you, Lord. Perfect peace in the midst of anything that might happen. Anything that you might bring us through. Anything that you would allow to come into our lives to help us to be more like you. And in the midst of it, Lord, like you've shown me recently, Lord, that as I'm looking to you, as I'm fellowshipping with you, conversing with you, there's peace. There's not only peace, there's joy. Because there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ. Got a long way to go in that, Lord, but thank you for what you've shown so far. And I pray for each one of us, Lord. Each one of us, Lord, that you would help us and train us so that we can draw closer to you as you're drawing closer to us. That we can have that deeper fellowship with you. Fellowship with you as a friend. Sharing your heart. We sharing our hearts. Because not only do we need to know you, Lord, you want to know us as well. Intimately, as a friend. So thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for another opportunity, another year for opportunity to fit into your plan, to draw closer to you, to know more of you, to have more of you. And I pray, Lord, that you would give us your joy, as you said, Lord, as we remain in you, as we abide in you, give us your joy. And make our joy full, complete, no matter what happens this year. Thank you, Lord. Bless you. In Jesus' name, amen.